Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We'll get back to Mythosophia Part 6 here on Tell Me Your Story. But right now, it's time for Beth McDonald of Beth McDonald Consulting as we're fast approaching the end of June, which is absolutely amazing, heading into the 7th month, 4th of July, and the middle of summer, and everybody's out. A lot of folks are out of school. I really do miss those 3 months off from whatever it was that I did the rest of the year, which I don't get now that I work. I'm in the wrong career. I should have become a teacher. you know, Disneyland and all those good things. But we're still in the process of, I think it's still important for us to be out there and enjoying life and what it has to offer, especially those of us on the Central Coast, but also taking those moments to reflect on who and what we are and where we're going and where we'd like to go. I'd like to have you chat for just a couple of minutes about the whole aspect of planning and what that entails when someone comes to you. Where do you begin? What are some of the steps that you go through? Can we talk a little bit about that?
Right. Absolutely. It varies from case to case, but there's some very kind of textbook things I pretty much always like to get. The birth information, the month, the day, the year you were born, the time of day, and the city, because that gives us the information we need to create your natal chart or your birth chart. And that's said to be a map of your covenant with God or your agreement with yourself or it's your mission plan for what you were thinking when you and God decided it was time for you to come here to this planet. And so it's basically a map of where all the stars and constellations were at the moment you were born and drew your first breath. And it's said to inform your personality and illustrate your strengths and your skill sets and things you've mastered already, and then your life lessons. And like we've been talking about for several weeks, where your shadow self is likely to rear its little head.
Well, I think that one of the most important steps, and I really am, I feel strongly about this, and I really would encourage people to, you know, get involved in that regard in their own lives, and that is to basically start working on a plan. And I guess I'd have to. Am I correct? A plan doesn't do me any good unless I have a goal.
Right, and this again gets back to shadow stuff. I would say 3/4 of the people that I work with, when they first show up, they don't have any sort of plan, any sort of goals, any sort of concrete, like New Year's resolutions, goals for the year, goals for the month, goals for the week, anything like that. It's real, it's much more visceral, it's much more day-to-day, and it's more about just like avoiding pain. It's more survivalism kind of approach to life. And so most people have some sort of fear about stating or claiming, you know, their desires, their goals, not from a Buddhist place of higher spirituality, but of a real fear of failure,
mm-hmm.
Or fear of success. You know, clinically they say people fear success more than they fear failure, because they know how to control failure and poverty and that kind of stuff, abundance, and the kind of choices you have to make and the kind of reflections your choices reveal about you and your soul when you have freedom and ease and abundance. They say people are more afraid of that.
Yeah. Well, and I think that it's because there's this, I don't know if it's a saying per se, but anyway, the statement is that if there's something that you want and then you get it, now there's no more wanting. And for some reason, we seem to thrive more on the wanting than the actual getting. Does that make sense? I mean, it seems like that's maybe part of the dynamic, that because we're always wanting things, you know, a position in life or things or a relationship.
Exactly.
But once we get them, because we've been in that mode of wanting for so long, it's like hard to shift into, oh, I have it now. How wonderful this is. And I'm going to languish in that for a while. You know, that's the shift that maybe that we struggle with.
That, and I see so many people, they acquire something that they've worked for, and then they don't know what to do with it, or
yeah.
they sabotage in some way, especially around relationships and
oh,
money,
yeah.
where it's like, oh, I just want the partnership, I want the relationship, and then they get it, and then they do something awful, like cheat. There's always so much of that I deal with in my practice this time of year.
Yeah.
The spring and early summer, you know, once the sun comes out and people start putting on bikinis, man, it all just goes south real fast. And so it's like the level of self-sabotage that we have around our relationships is very hard, very hard for people to understand how they contribute. We victim. Even the cheater. Well, she made me do it, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, really? That's awesome. You know, let's chat. You know, it's tricky. It's very tricky.
And I do not want to make light of this, but
no.
it's rare that you've ever heard of a man ever being raped by a woman. It can happen. It can happen.
Right.
You know.
Right.
But I keep my eye on the sea lions, and that helps. Out on the buoy.
It's really important.
Yeah.
It's really important also not to judge. I'm working with a family right now with some sort of serial cheater, cyber sex, you know, the whole bit. And the reaction of a lot of the family is like shunning and judgment. And folks, that doesn't help.
Mm-mm.
Happy people don't do things like that. You know, people for whom something went horribly wrong, you know, and that's a time to rally as a family and take a stand for some sort of treatment, some sort of healing that we all participate in and contribute to, because this stuff doesn't happen in a vacuum. And it's just really important to not be the one who's casting the first stone and to treat other people who are struggling, you know, again, not in a codependent, you know, hideously enabling sort of way, but to find that line, that tough love line where it's like, okay, I have boundaries here, but we're also working through this together as a family.
Right.
How do we heal together? Because everybody's hurt.
And we have boundaries here. They're called lines on the clock. Exactly. But we're going to have you back next year. Yes, we will. And next month and next week as we get into July and get into the 4th and all of those good things. And so we ask you to join us again then, and also to go to BethMcDonaldConsulting.com. Check her out on Facebook, Beth McDonald Consulting. Go to LinkedIn. She's there. Or give her a call, 805-963-0842. And we'll talk more about this next week as well, Beth.
Thank you, Richard.
I'm Richard Dugan. Stay tuned. More of Myth of Sophia, Part 6, coming up.